I remember years back, I was taking a Christian college course, and I had an awesome professor. He was a pastor for like 50 years, 60 years actually, pastor to church for 60 years, awesome teacher of the Word of God, because he would teach a college course, but you felt it when he taught it. Like, he really cared about the things he was talking about. So I love this guy. His name was actually Professor Moriarty. Isn't that funny? It really was. And so it's awesome. But he wasn't an evil genius, just so you know. He was a good guy. But I remember one time I was shocked by something that he told me. We were preparing for this course, and we had a lot of reading. Tons of books that we had to read. And it was a 5-week course, so it was intense. And he said, listen, I know there's a lot of reading that you got to do, and I know that you probably won't have time to do it all, and I would always encourage you to read the full books, but you can read something that is helpful is you read the first and last chapter of the book, and then you read the first and last paragraph of each chapter, and you get a good consensus of what the book is about. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's saying you don't have to do all the reading. I was like, oh yes, because there was a lot. And so, and the books were thick. So I did that. I remember doing the first and last chapter. And it was amazing how accurate it really was. Like, so much of the book was found in those little segments. And it really helped with the book report. But then I was also surprised at how much of the book I didn't necessarily need in order to pass the course. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. And then there was another time I met with a guy who was a pretty well-known author, and we were having dinner with a few different pastors. He was talking about a new book that he had, and he said, really, just read chapter 6. Chapter 6 is pretty much the whole book. Like, he's like, that's the meat of the book. It was a 12-chapter book. I'm like, really? What about the other 11 chapters? Like, what is that? He's like, no, just read chapter 6. He's like, it's good. I mean, it's all good. He's like, but chapter 6 is like the meat of it. And I think there's a lot of that in our world where we experience a lot of filler, right? I mean, you think, especially when the political season comes around and people are talking heads on TV, it's just a lot of just round and round, the same thing. I remember even sports commentators, when they talk about something, they kind of say the same thing over and over and over again. And no matter what channel you're on, it's kind of the same thing. And it's a lot of like fluff, right? And sometimes in life, we just need someone to give us the bottom line, right? We just need a straight answer. Someone who can just say, okay, this is what it's all about. Let me just tell you the main thing here. And what I love about Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes in our study is he does that. He gives a final word, a conclusion. He sums up the whole 12 chapters of the book and says, here is the final conclusion. Here is the end of the matter. So the title of my message today is The Final Conclusion. Let's pray over the word. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open to receive from you today. Lord, I pray that anything that I say that comes from me will fall to the ground and come to nothing, Lord, but your words will remain, bear fruit in our lives that remains and brings transformation. Lord, we love you, Jesus, and we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're closing out our series today. We've been walking through the book of Ecclesiastes for the last 7 weeks. Can you believe it's been 7 weeks, guys? And so this is the 7th week of the series, and it's the final week. And so we've walked through the book, and we've talked about this idea of smoke, right? That's the title of the series. That life, according to Solomon, is hevel. That life under this sun on the planet Earth that's not looked at through the lens of Jesus and through eternity is meaningless. He says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless under the sun. And so Solomon is saying, this is what life is all about. We're sitting down with old man Solomon over coffee, and we're looking back on life. Hindsight's 20/20, right? So he's lived all this life. He has all this wisdom, and he's telling us, okay, this is what life is all about. And so he uses all of his wealth, all of his influence, all of his power and authority to try out all the different pursuits of our world that we go after to find meaning. So whether that's knowledge or pleasure or achievement and wealth or legacy, he goes after each one of those pursuits with all of his might and comes to the same conclusion that they are all indeed hevel, meaningless, empty, grasping for the wind, that they're not bad necessarily, but they are not ultimately fulfilling in life. And we've talked about how it's the presence of Jesus, the knowledge of Christ. It is building his kingdom. It is cultivating the attributes of steadfastness and humility, and then the legacy of making his name great, not our name, but his name great, that are ultimately fulfilling in life. And then the last couple of weeks, we turn the corner to look at, okay, then what do we do with life under the sun? What do we do with work and service and recreation and education, things that we do, they're part of our lives. How do we approach them? And he says, this is how you approach life under the sun. The stuff that seems to be meaningless, first, receive it as a gift from God. That life is a gift. And be content, show appreciation and gratitude for the gift that God gives you, and delight in it. Delight in the simple things. Show appreciation for the simple things in life. And then ultimately, you will appreciate life as a whole. So he says, receive it as a gift. And then the second part, last week we talked about, what do? Now we give it back to God as an act of worship. We make the most of every opportunity, giving our best effort, our complete attention, and our whole heart to everything that we do as worship for the Lord. And there's a redemptive quality and filter that every act and every minute and every moment of our life flows through as it goes up to God as a song of worship. And so Solomon says, okay, this is how you approach life. And then the last chapter, Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon gives his final encouragement and his final word. Let's look at that. Chapter 12, verse 1. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. The message says, honor and enjoy your Creator while you're still young, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes. He's saying there will be a time, you will get old enough where you will finally see that all of this, all these random pursuits are ultimately hevel, that it's meaningless. And so that you don't get overcome with grief and despair when you discover that, remember your Creator. It says, remember him. And look at what he says in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 12. Remember him, God, before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. The message says, life, lovely while it lasts, is soon over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. The body is put back in the same ground it came from. The spirit returns to God who first breathed it. So what is he saying? He's saying, listen, it's going to come around. Eventually, you'll live enough life to realize, and you'll pursue these different things long enough to realize that they aren't ultimately fulfilling. But so you don't despair in that moment, remember your God. Focus your attention on him. And so when those days come, when the dark days come and they approach, and they will, you're prepared. So what do we learn from Solomon's last words? His final conclusion. Number one, life is short. Life is short. Life, lovely while it lasts, is soon over. Life as we know it, precious and beautiful, ends. He's saying in his conclusion, life is a gift. Receive it as a gift from God. It's precious, it's beautiful, but also you need to understand, it ends. It soon ends. In fact, he says it's wisdom to be aware of that and be mindful of that so that you live to the best of your ability in every moment, because you only get so many days. You only get so many moments. You only live once, right? So live each day as if it's your last. Invest in your life. Don't take any of your time for granted. It does come to an end. 10 out of 10 people, it's a proven fact, 10 out of 10 people die. It's true. 10 out of 10, 100%. It's crazy. Well, unless you count Elijah and Enoch in the Bible, but we're not going to go there, okay? Jesus, yeah, well, I mean, he did die. He did actually die, though, and then he, you know. But anyways, we won't go there. But yes, everyone, we will all, every single person in this room, I know it sounds morbid, but it's not. It's just part of life. We will. One day, this body will die. Now, the great hope of Jesus is the fact that we don't die. We just step into real life. It's like when this body dies, we wake up from a dream and we're really living because we're in the presence of God. Now, that is awesome, but it's true. We will. This life will come to an end. And look at what Solomon tells us to do in Psalms 92:12. He says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Be aware that this life is short. It is a test. It is a trust. It is a temporary assignment. And then it's it. That's it. It's over. And we're with Jesus forever, which is wonderful. But it's a drop in the bucket compared to the ocean of eternity. It is so, so short. And you guys, we know. We know it. We know time flies, and the older you get, the faster it moves. Amen? It gets faster as you get older. And when you're young, it's like so slow. When we tell Judah, our 5-year-old, we're like, "Oh, you can't do that yet. It's going to be about a couple of days." He's like, "Oh, 2 days? That's forever." You know, it's like, no, it's not. It's funny because he had his birthday, his 5th birthday. And he comes up to me afterwards and he goes, "Is my birthday tomorrow?" I'm like, "No, not quite. Only 364 days until your next birthday." "Okay, next week." Nope, still wrong. It is a long, long, long way away. We have to really exaggerate how long it is because he thinks it's every month. Like every month is going to be his birthday or every week is going to be his birthday. So we're trying to teach him the concept of time. But that's the way it is when you're young. Time moves slow. And as you get older, it gets faster. The average lifespan is 40 million minutes, 692,040 hours. 28,835 days. 28,835 days, 961 months. Isn't that crazy? That's it. So each day that goes by, that's one of 28,000. It sounds like a lot, but they go by quick. 961 months, that's it. That's the average lifespan for a person in America right now today. That's it. Life is short, so let's not miss any opportunity to make the most of it. A friend of mine and I the other day were talking about actors that we saw in movies growing up, you know, that were like our favorite actors and stuff, and we're like, "Man, I wonder how old he is." You know? And so we look up ages, and then sure enough, 85, 82, deceased. You know, and all of them, there was only two of the actors that we looked up, like 10 different guys. Only two of them were under 80. One was 74 and one was 77. And the rest of them were over 80 or they had already passed away. And I didn't even know. And I'm like, "Wow, man, that's crazy how quickly that happens." Last I remember in a movie, they're like my age. You know what I mean? Like, man, that went fast. And in the last couple of weeks, I've learned of 3 former friends of mine that have passed away. One was 37, one was 35, and one was 27. So even that isn't guaranteed. Life is short. We can't take it for granted. So that's the first thing Solomon says in his conclusion. Remember, life is short. Make the most of it. Number two, he says, remember God now. Remember him right now. He says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken. We understand, yeah, life is short and it's beautiful. But also, man, because of that, because it's so short, remember your creator. Don't let a day go by without giving him your attention, because you only get so many days. And he is the author of life. It's him. He's the source. So let's not let a day go by without remembering him. He's saying ASAP, as soon as possible, today. Today, remember. Today, set your mind on him. Today, commune with him in prayer. Today, listen for his voice. Today, walk in step with his spirit. Today, remember your creator. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Focus on Jesus and his end game, what he is doing. Jesus said it. He said, be watchful. Watch and wait for me. Look for me. Keep your attention on me and what I'm doing and when I'm coming and how I'm moving in the earth. He said, the only things that I do is what I see the Father doing. The only things that I speak is what I hear the Father saying. Jesus' attention was always on the Father. He was always remembering him, thinking about him, engaging with him in communion, practicing the presence of God, as Brother Lawrence would say. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Prayer, talking to God, communing with him. Be watchful and thankful. It's one of the best ways that we can remember God and keep him at the forefront of our mind. One is to be thankful. Gratitude. There's so much that we can give him thanks for, right? So that's one way. And then also be watchful. God, what are you doing? What are you doing today? How can I partner with you today? Sometimes the simplest answer to that is love the person in front of you. But that's partnering with him. One of my favorite scenes all time of any Disney movie is the scene from Lion King. Right? Yes, I heard somebody. Yes! The scene, you know, where he sees his father, like after his father has passed away, and his father speaks to him, you know, Mufasa from the clouds. You know, Rafiki's like, you do not know who you are. And he takes him, he's like, look down there. He looks at his reflection, he's like, it's only me. He's like, no, look harder, you know. And then he sees Mufasa. You see, he lives in you. I love it. Such a great scene. Anyways, and then Mufasa shows up in the stars and he starts speaking to Simba. But I love what he says. He says, you have forgotten me. And Simba's like, how could I? I haven't forgotten you. He's like, no. He said, you've forgotten who you are and therefore forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than you have become. My son and the one true king. One of the best ways for us to remember the Lord is remember who we are in relationship to him. If we live from our identity, first and foremost, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that he is our heavenly Father and we are his children, then when we walk into a day, we're talking to our dad. We're coming to him for comfort because we know we're his kids. If we approach each day knowing that we're creatures made by our Creator, crafted by Him, then we're going to give thanks. We're going to be grateful for the fact that we have breath in our lungs, the fact that He made us. If we approach each day knowing that we are followers of Jesus, apprentices of Christ, then we're going to be looking at His example, at what He's saying, what He's doing, and doing our best to follow our Master and imitate Him. Do you see how when we understand who we are in relation to God, it helps us remember Him? We're His children. We're His creation. We're His apprentices and disciples. And then our mind is ever on the Lord. It stayed on Him when we approach life according to our true identity, who we really are, because that's who you all are. More so than your name or who your parents are or what you do for a living. I remember we did this interview one time when I was in youth ministry, where we went around to a bunch of random people and we asked them a question. We said, tell me who you are without saying your name or what you do for a living. And people were like, my name is, no, I can't say that. Okay. Well, I work at, oh, shoot. Man, this is hard. I mean, people just were dumbfounded. They didn't know how to communicate who they are without saying their name and what they did for a living. And then finally, people were like, I am a father and a brother. And so they went the family route. But then you ask a believer, and it was amazing. They had an answer. Well, I'm a child of God. This helps us keep our minds on the Lord. Just waking up and starting our day with a simple prayer. Something like this. Now, it doesn't have to be this prayer. It could be whatever you want to pray. But something like this. Can we pull that prayer up on the screen? Father, like you're laying in bed, you wake up. First thing you do before you get out of bed, Father, thank you for creating me, for loving and adopting me, and for calling me. Help me follow you today. Something as simple as that, reminding yourself of who you are. You made me, you loved me, you adopted me, and you called me. Now help me follow you today. Just something simple like that that focuses our attention on the Lord, taking timeouts throughout our day to remember who we are and who we belong to. There's an old practice called the daily office. And basically the daily office is specific times throughout your day that you take a few minutes to pray and just give your attention to God. And so it's when you first wake up, right before you go to bed, and then two other times. So like a midday time, again, like 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, just something to take a minute of time to recenter your heart and remind yourself of who you are and who you belong to. And then something in the evening. So right when you get up, midday, right when you get home from work maybe or something, and then right before you go to bed, taking like 10 minutes in total, a couple minutes at each one, something like that, just to keep our attention on the Lord. So those were the first two. Life is short. Remember God now. And then the third one, let's look at the final words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9 through 14. Let's read this together. It says, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd to prod us on. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. He's saying, you don't have to keep studying forever. Let's make it simple here. Verse 13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Here he goes. Final statement, summing it all up, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So number three, fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God. That word fear means to revere, to stand in awe of. Fear God and keep his commandments. Obedience is the ultimate sign of faith, love, and trust. Obedience is the ultimate. If we believe Jesus, if we believe in him, we really believe, then we'll obey. We'll do the things that he asks us to do because we believe it's true. We'll believe that it leads to life, so we'll do it. Right? If we believe him, then we'll obey him. If we love him, then we'll obey him. Right? Jesus said that himself, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Just like a parent tells their kids what to do because they love them and they're trying to protect them and they're trying to put boundaries in their life so they don't hurt themselves or run with a knife or whatever it is or fall downstairs, right? God has things in place so that we might thrive in this life. He's saying, if you love me, obey me. If we trust him, if we trust the Lord, then we're going to obey him because we trust that he's looking out for our best interest. And we're going to say yes to what he asks of us. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not. It's hard, for sure. But praise God, we don't have to do it alone. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. John 14:15-17, look at this second part of that verse. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So he's saying, listen, yeah, I'm asking you, keep my commands, and you're going to have a helper. You're going to have someone who's going to help you. He's going to give you the power, the ability, the grace to walk in my way. There's a story in Scripture about King Saul, the first king of Israel. And he was chosen by God to be the king. And God told him to go wipe out the Amalekites, right? So Saul's like, all right, I'm going to go do it. So he goes, he defeats the Amalekites, but he's supposed to wipe them all out. And instead, he keeps their livestock and like some, you know, treasures of war kind of a thing. And he keeps the king alive as well and kind of parades him around like, hey, 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 look at me. I defeated the Amalekites. Well, Samuel confronts him, the prophet. And he says, Saul, you have disobeyed God. What are you doing? Why is the livestock here? You're supposed to wipe it all out. What are you doing? You're not supposed to take anything for yourself. Why is the king still alive? And Saul's like, no, no, no. He's like, I obey God. And all the livestock, what I was going to do is I was going to give them like as a sacrifice to God. I was going to worship God with those things. So I'm good, right? And then look at what Samuel says, 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. The ultimate sign of honor and love towards God is obedience. Saying, yes, God, I honor you, I love you, I trust you, and I will obey. I will say yes to what you ask of me. That honors God. It shows that we revere him. We worship him. And again, we don't have to do it alone. The Spirit of God is with us to empower us and give us the grace we need to walk in the way of Jesus. So, end of the matter. There's so many things that we can spend our lives on. So many. There's so many things that we can just be frivolous with our lives and waste time doing. I mean, come on. I'm guilty of the dumbest stuff, whether it's like some dumb game on my phone or whatever it is. Like, there's so many things. Like, there's that, I don't know, have you guys seen the I.O. worm game or whatever? Where you're just literally a worm and you go around and try to make your worm really big. And like, I can't tell you how many times, how many minutes or hours I've wasted. I'm confessing right now, okay? This is therapy right now. on that dumb game. It's so dumb. I'm just making a worm. Not a real worm, just a graphic worm, bigger for hours. Doesn't make any sense, but it's so easy. There's so many things that we can distract ourselves with, so many things we can just give our time to give. This short, precious life, just giving loads of time to all of these different things in our lives. All the pursuits of knowledge and pleasure and all these different things. Easy time consumers. But the end of the matter is this: our life is short. So let's not miss the opportunity to spend every day of it in and with our loving Heavenly Father. It's short, so let's not miss an opportunity to be with our Heavenly Father. With Him and in Him, with, just mindful of His presence. He's with us all the time. We know that's true. But are we mindful of Him with us? Do we give attention to Him with us? And then in His will, being obedient. This is the Father's will for us. This is how we make the most of our lives and bear much fruit, glorifying God by leaving a legacy of making Jesus' name great. John 15, 7 and 8 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Amen. I want to close with this. Do you ever feel like you're just kind of drifting down a river in life, and the current of your life is just kind of carrying you? You don't exactly know where you're going. You're just kind of drifting. You know, one day kind of rolls into the next, and life just takes you somewhere. And then you wake up after a time of that, and like, man, what have I been doing? Or have you guys ever had the moment where you're like driving somewhere, and you're thinking about something, and then when you arrive at your destination, you're like, wow, I don't remember driving here. And it's really disturbing because, like, how did I make it? Like, I do not remember driving. That's what can happen with life. We can just be focused on whatever is ahead of us, and then the next thing we know, years have passed, and we're somewhere. We don't know how we got there. We're still alive, praise the Lord, but, like, what do we do? I have to ask myself this question. Where is my mindfulness meter at? Am I being intentional about what I'm allowing to form me? Because I'm always being formed spiritually, all the time. Whether I'm intentionally being formed or unintentionally, I am. So what am I doing with my life? It's easy to drift in life. I know. It's easy for me to drift. It's easy to let the days run together. It's easy to forget God while we have a full life of a million other things that are grabbing our attention. It's easy. It's hard for me to choose mindfulness. It's hard to live each day with intentionality and purpose. It's hard to always remember God in the midst of this world. It's hard. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." The Message says, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time, like becoming wealthy in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Let's be real. Following Jesus can be hard. It's hard to say no, Right? There is a current in our culture. And when we follow Jesus, we are walking against the current. We are literally swimming upstream. So it's hard. It's hard to say yes to Jesus all the time. It's hard to keep our mind fixed on God. But what's amazing is that Jesus says, yeah, it is hard, but you can carry my yoke on you. You can be yoked up to me. And guess what? Say, come to me if you're weary, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you because it's easy and light, and you'll find rest for your souls. So Jesus says, yeah, it's hard to swim upstream, but guess what? You're not doing it alone. I'm with you. And I'll make sure that my grace and the power of my Spirit in you carries you up that river. And no matter how hard it's flowing, no matter how many people are going the opposite direction, it's like, I will make a way where there is no way. And I'll carry you. We have the Holy Spirit and we have our community. We're not doing it alone. Look around you. We have a family. We're in this together. So let's lean in. Let's lean in to Jesus. Lean into the grace of God. Lean into the Holy Spirit within us. Let's be resolute and say, all right, I know the way that Jesus is calling me. I know that this life is short, but I'm going to keep my mind stayed on the Lord, fixed upon him. I'm going to remember who God is. I'm going to remember who I am. I'm going to fear God, and I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to receive life as a gift and give it back to God as worship. I'm going to make his name great. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I just want you to take a moment and just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today, Lord? In all this, God, what do you want me to hear? And Father, what do you want me to do about that? What are you saying to me? And then what is my next step? Father, I just ask for the power of your Spirit, Lord, the grace of God made available through the cross of Jesus. Lord, we ask, God, that you carry us. Help us. Let your strength be made perfect in our weakness. God, give us the grace to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, to remember who you are and to remember who we are every day when we wake up, God. Remind us of who we are. We're your creation. We're your kids who you love perfectly. We're your apprentices, your disciples, and nothing is impossible for us because of your Spirit in us leading the way. We open our hearts to you and we receive from you today all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you stand with me? We're going to close in a song of worship and just give God the glory he deserves.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And
praise in the good days and the bad days and the hard ones. Reminded of something the Lord told me this morning. You know, hard times are so that we can put our faith into practice. Because we say we believe these things, but until we're faced up against something that is hard or feels immovable or feels impossible, then you really get to choose if what you believe is what you actually believe. or if it's just in our heads. It's just in, you know, something we've heard. But I love this. I love that we get to be reminded that He is good no matter what. So let me just pray over us and let's live into this word, shall we? Thank you, Jesus, that you are the name above all names. Lord God, you give us our identity. You give us our purpose in this world and in this life. God, we surrender it back to you, trusting you with it, Lord Jesus, that you love us, that you're a good Father, and that you are on our side, defending us and protecting us and showing us the way to live, showing us how to bring glory to your name so this world who is in darkness and is fading away would see the light and come to you and find life. Jesus, we love you. And I just bless my friends today and this week that you empower them. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.